Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the Alex Jones Network studios. I did it, folks. I swapped my wallet. I got one of the new wallets. It's got all my cards in it. Significantly thinner than my old wallet. I just love how, this thing is literally the size of a credit card. That's what you don't realize until you put it in. Most wallets are significantly bigger than your credit card, but these things just fit incredibly snugly in. This is the new Freedom Shield RFID wallet. So, of course, it blocks RFID signal, so people can't just walk right by you and scan your card and get your number. So there is the security element, but even beyond that, the look of it, the beauty of this thing, the way it's made, it's got leather and aircraft quality aluminum, actually. It's the new Freedom Shield RFID wallet with built-in top grain leather and aerospace-grade aluminum. Slim, tough, secure, and made for everyday carry. There's two patriotic designs. Don't tread on me in 1776. I went with the 1776 one, personally. Love that design. Every time you pull this wallet out, you're making a statement, and it's fully loaded. The Freedom Shield RFID wallet can hold up to 25 cards and 20 bills. I have probably 12 cards in here, something like that, and it's still extremely thin, and that's really because it all it is. And you just pull the tab, and the cards come right up, easy to get, and then goes right back in. It really is a well-made, beautiful wallet. It would be an absolutely fantastic present for perhaps the graduate in your life. People are graduating, and if you're wondering what to get, you know, the young adult in your life, a solid, well-made, well-crafted RFID-proof wallet, I think, is the way to go. Get it with the 1776 or the Don't Tread on Me style, and they will love it. They absolutely will. You can get it right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. And I believe it's, let me get the actual price, because I know it's on discount since we're just introducing it. But I also know there's only a few thousand of these available. So these will sell out very quickly. If you want yours, get it now. It's only $49.99. These things regularly sell for upwards of $70. VIP members can get it for only $39.20. These patriotic designs are moving fast, so do not wait. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get your Freedom Shield RFID wallet before they sell out, and sell out they will. But again, it's sort of rare that you get a product that looks as good in life as it does in the promo shots, but these are really, really good looking products. And they even come with, I even like the packaging that they come in. It's real, like, stylish, packaging, sort of similar to our knives. But like I said, if you want to buy this as a gift, you almost don't even have to wrap it. The packaging is so high quality. It serves as gift wrapping almost itself. Anyway, thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours today and be like me. You can be just like me and have the same wallet as me. We're going to get back into Israel in just a little bit because we have some news about the flotilla. There was an aid flotilla. We showed the video yesterday of Ben-Gvir, the defense minister, somebody high up in the Israeli government, abusing these flotilla members, the flotilla people who were arrested. By the way, they were arrested in international water. They're basically just kidnapped and brutalized and tortured by the Israelis for a little while. They've since been released. At least some of them have been released. They've shown up in Istanbul, Turkey, with bruises all over their body. And I think one of the important things to understand about this, there's the image of just one of them. Again, just obvious torture marks. You know, not only did these people do absolutely nothing wrong, their entire purpose of being there was to try to bring food to starving people. That's the crime they committed. But it's also worth mentioning, most of the people on these flotillas were like Italian. They're Europeans. So it's the absolute proof of what we've been saying for a long time. Yeah, Jamie Mitchell says they got off easy. So, like, this is one of those things that I want to show to, like, boomers, to, like, the pro-Israel people who are still in the delusion that this has something to do with Arabs or Muslims. No, these are European people. These are Italians. These are Europeans, Christians. And if they try to bring food to starving people, like, you know, their religion demands of them, The Israelis think they get off lucky if they only get tortured and not, I don't know, like raped to death like the other prisoners. So this whole idea of like, why are you on the side of the Arabs? Why are you on the side of the Muslims? It's like, no, I'm on the side of humanity. I'm on the side of the human beings. And it's us versus Israel. And it's human beings of every race, color, and creed versus Israel. And Israel thinks about you and me in the same way it thinks about the Palestinians. That's it. And they'd gleefully torture you to death if they could. They just don't think they can get away with it quite yet. But they're working there. They're making their way. They're slowly but surely expanding the scope of their operations around the world. So we'll get back into that. Didn't mean to talk about that so much right there because I'll bring you all the videos and, you know, show you the context and everything, as well as a reaction from some European countries that are not so happy with their citizens being kidnapped and tortured by Israel in international waters. It's actually kind of an egregious overreach and worthy of war, in my opinion. But let's talk about some good. Hey, here's a shocking thing. Some good news. 15 charged in Medicaid schemes that potentially netted a whopping $90 million, with one suspect on the lam after leaping off a balcony, a four-story balcony, apparently. Trump administration officials announced criminal charges Thursday against 15 fraudsters accused of bilking taxpayers out of $90 million, courtesy of Minnesota's state-run Medicaid program, including what prosecutors called the largest autism fraud scheme ever. The busts also involved the highest loss amount ever charged in a Medicaid case. Assistant Attorney General for the National Fraud Enforcement Division, Colin McDonald, told reporters in Minneapolis, noting that the sum total stolen would likely top $9 billion. And they've made a bunch of announcements about this. They're obviously touting this success, and it's great. It's great to see. It's great to see actual movement on some of these topics. And it's even better hearing the Trump administration officials talk about it, because they clearly understand what's actually going on here. So let's go first to clip number 11. This is the announcement about the federal grand juries indicting those 15 Minnesota fraudsters. Let's watch.
Today, we are announcing criminal charges against 15 defendants in Minnesota for fraud schemes that targeted over $90 million in taxpayer dollars. Let me be clear up front about something. This is not the end of our work in Minnesota. This is not the end of the beginning of our work in Minnesota. This is the beginning of our work in Minnesota. The fraud here in Minnesota is shocking. Our cases today involve seven different state-managed Medicaid programs that have been systematically pilfered by fraudsters who treated Minnesota-run programs as their personal piggy bank.
So that's this McDonald guy who is leading this charge. Here he is, clip number 8. Talking about just some of the details of just one of these fraud schemes and just how, I mean, really, you hear this, you think these fraudsters probably should have been charged with murder because that's actually how bad it got. Let's watch.
For example, one defendant is charged with defrauding the Integrated Community Supports Medicaid program. This program is designed to help individuals with disabilities live independently. One patient was supposed to be receiving 24-hour care through this program, but he was actually being serviced by a fraudster and received no services. This patient was later found dead. Meanwhile, the architect of this fraud scheme was billing Medicaid as if he was providing care to this patient. The defendant even submitted a claim of over $400 for services he never provided the day before this man died. In another example, two defendants have been charged for defrauding a program designed to offer medical services to those with autism spectrum disorder. As alleged, the defendants paid kickbacks to parents who brought their children to autism centers, diagnosed children with autism regardless of medical necessity, and billed for autism services that were never actually provided. In one final example, two defendants have been charged in an over $22 million fraud scheme involving the Individualized Home Supports Program. This program was meant to support disabled individuals who wanted to live in their own homes. Instead, these disabled individuals were used like lottery tickets by these defendants to generate millions of dollars, which these defendants used to expand their real estate holdings, purchase luxury vehicles, and splurge on expensive jewelry. We will not, full stop, tolerate this greed and deceit. We will not let fraudsters bankrupt Medicare and Medicaid the same way that they bankrupted the Housing Stabilization Services Program. As mentioned, this is just the beginning.
So is it any wonder that we're bankrupt, that we're exploding in debt? Story from today, U.S. national debt officially hits $39 trillion. We've added $5 billion a day since October, which sounds like a lot. You might think $5 billion a day sounds like a lot, especially when you consider what you could afford for $5 billion. Tell you what, if the crew can, go into Grok and just search, what could I buy for $5 billion? What could I afford? What could the American people, how many brand new state-of-the-art high schools could we build for $5 billion a day, every single day? I think the top line, best of the best, state-of-the-art high school for like 4,000 students with the media labs and the science labs and everything you could possibly want would run you about $300 million, if I'm not mistaken. But that sounds even, I think maybe $50 million might be more like it. Multiple mega mansions. I mean, the thing is, it's so much money, they like don't even know how to calculate it. They're like, you could just get every private island that's for sale if you want. Like, it's at a certain point where you're just like, I don't know, you just would have to buy companies, like invest in, I don't know, an NFL team. Super yachts, a tier one yacht, like a 100 million plus vessel could cost 200 to 500 million. Multiple Gulfstreams, 100 of hypercars. Yeah, this is what a person would buy. Like, if I was a government, like how many schools? That's what I want to know. How many hospitals or high schools could we build with $5 billion? Because obviously we're spending this $5 billion. The question is, what the hell are we getting for it? What are we getting for it? Now, people don't know this. They, you know, people on the left especially like to portray it as if all of our money goes towards the military, which a good chunk of it does. I mean, $5 billion a day sounds like a lot till you consider that's less than a month of the Iran war, right? We spent $100 billion in the first month, about. So, you know, just slightly higher than average, I guess, spending in that time period. Or if you're talking about $90 billion of fraud, you know, it's not actually that much at the end of the day. Or maybe $90 billion is just an insane amount. So elementary schools cost about $50 million. Middle schools can cost up to $90 million. High schools. So let's just say just full, you know, best of the best, $100 million. 90 to 140 elementary schools, 55 to 90 middle schools, 25 to 50 high schools. So just taking it, you know, on average, you could say we could build about 50 new state-of-the-art high schools a day. Remember, this is a day. A day. It's a day. We haven't even rebuilt the bridge that fell over in Baltimore. Hasn't happened. We certainly are not mounting a giant scientific crusade to eradicate ticks, even though they are clearly a plague at this point. That might cost $1 billion. I bet you could eradicate ticks as a species if you dedicated $1 billion to it. We're spending $5 billion every single day. What are we getting for it? What are we receiving? We don't even have basic safety. We don't even have a basic functioning economy where people working full time can afford a place to live and food to eat. But we're spending $5 billion every single day in this country. I guess that's how it's got. I don't even know, because that's national debt. I assume it's just all debt now, right? I assume that's not we're spending we're spending $10 billion, but only $5 billion is debt. I assume all the money is debt, right? I mean, it could be worse than I'm even saying. More than $1 trillion has been added since October 23rd, 2025, about $5 billion per day. The debt surpassed $39 trillion mid-March and actually fell below it for several weeks before cresting to this point again. Concern about the level of national debt is growing, particularly in relation to GDP, known as the debt-to-GDP ratio. This represents a nation's borrowing versus the growth of its economy, and therefore the risk levels attached to servicing and repaying the debt. The U.S. debt-to-GDP ratio sits at approximately 123%, meaning its borrowing is bigger than the size of its entire economy. You know, this makes me think of something else, and I'm not sure if the crew can find this story. I was not able to confirm it, which is why I wasn't able to actually find a story, but I didn't look very hard. But I'd heard somebody talking about the fact that apparently the EU sent a financial letter to Italy and a couple other countries, and basically they said if your debt to GDP ratio is more than 115%, then all of your national budgets have to be approved first and foremost by an EU committee. Before it's even presented to the legislatures of your country, it has to be approved by some like German economists, you know, to make it happen. Now, I don't know. Again, I wasn't able to confirm that, and I just was not able to find the details on it. But supposedly, Giorgia Meloni got really mad and, you know, recognized that this was an obvious attack on the sovereignty of Italy to set their own budgets and spend their own money. Now they have to get permission from Germany, apparently, to do that. Germany, who has systematically destroyed its own infrastructure and is watching as their industrial base is hollowed out in real time while they bring in millions and millions of foreigners to ostensibly, you know, prevent government debt and fill in the government coffers, but they all go on welfare, so it's only getting worse. I don't know if I would trust them with my financial well-being, to be honest with you. Now, again, I don't have any confirmation on that, but if they're doing it in Europe, do you think they'll start doing that here? Do you think that's a move they may start implementing worldwide where you have the people, the globalists who are responsible for all of this in charge, driving up the budget, driving up the debt, making the debt to where it is over 120% of GDP, and then going, oh, geez, you Americans are so irresponsible. I guess an international unelected corporate body has to actually dictate, you know, what you're allowed to spend money on. I wonder if that's not part of the plan. But again, just ask you, what do we get for $5 billion? We get a bunch of Somalis. We get a bunch of Somalis taking care of other Somalis. That's what we're paying for. We get basically just an endlessly growing class of government dependents with no future, no desire to build, no nothing. We just increase the number of parasites that we struggle under. Great. No, that's great. European Commissioner Ursula von der Leyen demanding, yeah, the 15% mentioned, Italy's debt to GDP ratio is currently over 135%. The figure 15 does not apply to their debt ratio, but it relates to the $15 billion in loans Italy could apply for. The letter's core argument, Meloni stated it's unjust for the EU to allow financial flexibility and exemptions for defense spending while refusing to exempt extraordinary energy-related measures, especially amid renewed geopolitical tensions. So I'm not sure what the EU rebuffs call from Italy for more lenient budget rules. Yeah, so if you can print out that story, I may have some of the details wrong. But I think generally that's basically it's these international bodies, World Economic Forum, the World Bank, the IMF, who are going to come in and go, oh, gee, you're really irresponsibly spending. We're going to have to dictate to you what you're allowed to spend money on. And guess what? Welfare is not going to get cut. Nothing negative is ever going to get cut, because these people are the ones orchestrating, designing, carrying out our full-fledged destruction. Welfare now makes up 66% of all government spending. 47% of that spending goes to boomers. It goes to boomers, the social welfare. So total government spending breakdown for the financial year 2025, totaling $11 trillion. And you see social welfare taking up 47%, federal plus state and local. Education takes another 15%. Net interest is 9%. So 9% of our tax dollars are just going to the banks for the privilege of allowing them to usurp the Congress's sovereign right of printing our money. So, of course, every dollar that's printed comes along with debt that we, the American people, somehow owe to the bankers. National defense makes another 8%. And then the rest fills out the rest, like 20%, but 66% going to social welfare and 47% going to mostly the, you know, paying for the boomers to continue to live. So when you talk about the fraud, the relentless, unending, and astronomical fraud, who knows how much we would be spending otherwise? We're literally talking about billions and billions of dollars. But at the end of the day, we can't even be guaranteed safety in our own homes, a school where the teachers and children all speak English. In Austin, you might call 911 and get put on hold. The police just won't come if there's not an imminent threat. They'll show up, you know, a couple hours later to take a report, and that is the extent of their ability or willingness to do anything at all. In fact, I've got a lot of stories today about Austin in particular, but it's the same in every city all over the country. We don't even have basic law and order. What are we spending $5 billion a day on? We still haven't sufficiently closed the border to a degree that, you know, we're not welcoming in the hordes of people like we were under Biden, but there's still illegal crossings going on. We haven't solved that problem. We certainly haven't deported a tenth of the number of people we should have by this point. But we're spending $5 billion every single day. So somebody's getting it. It just ain't us. It's our money. It's our energy. It's our future and our children's future that's being sold. It just never goes to benefit us whatsoever at all, even a little bit. Which you have to wonder, like, even for the people in charge, how is this even something they would want to do? If it's not because they want to destroy America, like if it's not on purpose, then it doesn't make any sense. Because even if you were corrupt, even if you were like a scumbag, you have to understand that robbing prosperous people to give it to lazy, dependent people can't go on forever. Like, you're setting up yourself for failure. I genuinely don't even understand people that run our country and benefit from our prosperity. You don't want to help out the prosperous people? Like, in the only thing that makes any of this make any sense is they're just deliberately draining our resources, deliberately disadvantaging and making it harder for the middle class, the hard workers, the people who are just, you know, putting in the 8-hour day, while making it as easy as humanly possible for the indigent or the criminal to live like kings. It's impossible for this to be an accident, I guess is what I'm saying. It's actually impossible. So, folks, all I can say is we could use some of that money. We could use some of that $5 billion. But please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and get yourself one of the incredible new RFID Freedom Shield wallets. They're 30% off right now. All this talk about money, you're going to want to keep yours safe as they systematically destroy the value of it. We need to talk about this too, because no matter how much you talk about conspiracy theories, and this is one of those things, like when you're a conspiracy theorist for a long time, you always end up as Ron Paul. You always just end up as straight up Ron Paul going, it's the Federal Reserve. It's the head of the snake. The banks are the problem. The Federal Reserve is the bank of banks. Can we cut off the head of the snake already? Can we solve our problem at the root cause, which is the Federal Reserve, which is our entire monetary system, which is the Bretton Woods Agreement, and the dollar is the reserve currency? I mean, that really is the end point of all these conspiracies.
These new data centers.